Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, August 9th, and you are listening to Girls Getting the Facts, part of Garage Talk Live's lineup with Cindy and Tammy, and we're glad that you're able to join us tonight. Coming up shortly, we're going to be talking about some memories that people have had up at Reading Speedway. This week is the fair, bringing back some of the memories and everything to our area, including racing. So we're going to be getting to that, but we're going to start off with Cindy right now, and she's got some news updates for us.
Well, there's quite a bit of news. As everyone knows, this weekend we'll be in Watkins Glen, both the Nationwide and the Cup Series. It should prove for a very interesting race. I know this week we have the Nationwide 48 cars entered. You know, there's a lot of go-homers on this one. We'll just have to see how this plays out. You know, and a lot of people that we don't know about, due to the fact that it is a road race, they're coming from other countries just to, you know, try to get in on the mix with the NASCAR series. So it'll be interesting to watch both series to see how they do. Wish them all the best. Also, there is a pretty good chance of rain on Friday, which means that the happy hour practice, it's possible that it could be rained out. As well as the practice for the Nationwide and possibly the qualifying. They may just start as points, so that will leave a lot of people going there without having the opportunity to even try to perform. So maybe we can get the rain to, you know, to stay away and pray that it's not as bad as it was last weekend. We don't want a replay of that, that's for sure. Okay, let's see here. Well, some interesting news. Roger Penske's son has been arrested for alleged breaking and entering in the Nantucket Yacht Club.
That's not good.
You know, he must be proud as could be. It's all over, JC. It says here, two sons of auto racing mogul Roger Penske were arrested early Thursday morning by Island Police for an alleged break-in at the Nantucket Yacht Club after two women claimed they had been assaulted in the parking lot. Jay Penske, who is 33, the CEO of digital media company PMC, who owns the IndyCar racing team Dragon Racing and the website Deadline.com, along with his brother Mark Penske, who is 35, were arrested before 2 a.m. on Thursday morning at South Beach Street. According to the police report, the incident was initially reported as an assault and battery when the two women approached the police on Broad Street claiming they had been assaulted by the two men, later identified as the Penske brothers, at the Yacht Club parking lot. Their parents, Roger and Kathy Penske, own a waterfront home in Nantucket. The Penske brothers were not available for comment, according to the person who answered the phone at their parents' home. So,
Penske's 33
and 35?
Issues.
Really? Yeah, maybe it was just mistaken identity?
Maybe they took
an Adderall and they didn't realize what they were doing?
That could be. I mean, Roger's kind of fallen on some bad luck here lately. I'm not sure what's going on. You know, it's a shame. He's been such a respected person in the sport, and you know, now first he has problems with his driver, now his children. You know, I just can only hope for the best for him.
Right. You know, they've got to be beside themselves. You know, you don't want to keep seeing the number 2 and 22, you know, coming across the board. Bottom line, top line, whatever line, you don't want to see it. That's for sure.
Right.
So, just hope. You know, we'll keep you posted on that. That just, you know, proves to be an interesting story, I think. And if anyone wants to read more about the story, you can go to the Nantucket Inquirer and the Mirror. So let's see what happens there. Now, sliced bread. Joey Logano says he has two offers on the table. He's mulling over two offers for full-time Sprint Cup rides next year. One to remain at Joe Gibbs Racing, but he does not yet say what the other one is. He expects to make a decision soon. I've got a couple of offers, the 22-year-old driver said on Wednesday at Charlotte Motor Speedway, where he was promoting fall events. I'm just trying to decipher what's best for me, what's going to give me the most trophies and wins, the most race and the most of races. I could be fairly close to a decision. It could be a few weeks out. It all depends on the next couple of days. Actually, Logano would not discuss the name of the other organization that has made the offer. The 22 at Penske Racing has mentioned the possibility since A.J. Allmendinger was released from his suspension. We know why. Penske Racing might also be considering adding a third team next year as it moves to Ford. It says that Sam Hornish Jr. has been named Allmendinger's replacement for the foreseeable future. Let's see what else they say about that. Joey just says there's so many good teams out there. He's not really giving us any inkling on where the other team might be. But I seriously doubt that it's going to be at Penske Racing. I mean, if that was the case, they probably wouldn't even have mentioned Penske in this article.
I don't know. I mean, there's so many rumors flying around right now, and that's the hardest thing in the world. It is silly season. We're in prime time for that. Someone said maybe Elliott's going to be going into that ride, Elliott Sadler. Honestly, nobody knows, and you're not going to know until the names are signed on the line and they make the official announcements. And we can all sit here and speculate all we want, but, you know, there's a lot of drivers that are probably going to be scrambling around this year, making changes. And they could be saying up and down, I'm not going anywhere, and they could be doing something that they just don't want us to know about. So, exactly. You know, we've seen that happen in the past. Oh, I'm staying put. Oh, I changed teams, you know.
Oh, all of a sudden, yeah, you know, we have to start changing numbers around.
Exactly.
Now, David Ruderman is going to JTG Darty Racing next year. It says that Ruderman met with officials from JTG for a 2013 ride, either as a replacement for Bobby Labonte or for a second team that they're looking to expand. But that is if, with the big capital I, capital F, sponsorship is found. So, you know, everybody's looking to see if sponsorship is found. That's the key word for the day, if.
Well, and that's the key word in this economy. It's not like it used to be where companies were handing out thousands of dollars to help you go racing and everything like that. It's not the same anymore, you know. And people who have been doing the marketing seminars and everything like that for years, you know, they're telling drivers, you know, this is what you got to do. But you know what? There's so many companies now that look at all the alternatives that are out there. It's really hard, and it's a hard sell to sell them something and say, hey, I want you to sponsor me. I want you to give me this money, you know. But at the same time, you have to think about the sponsor's perspective. If it rains, guess what? I haven't gotten any advertising that night.
Exactly. You're right. Whether it be, you know, because I can tell you, in a lot of proposals, you know, when we're, let's just say, associate sponsorship, you know, we're going to tell them, okay, look, you're going to be on this position of the car for this amount of money, and this is what we can promise you. We can promise you that you are going to have 2 hours of practice, 2 more hours of practice, and qualifying, which is televised. Well, you, not all races are televised, but, you know, that's your selling point, is we can give you this, we can give you that. You know, you're in there. They're looking for those key times. It's practice, it's qualifying, where it's more likely that a camera is going to be on a less-funded team showing what that driver can do. We have rain. There you go. There's no media time for that. There's no television time.
That's right. And so if you think about it, even on the local level here for our short track drivers, if we have rain, we're not running the next day. We're running next week. You know, and
right.
It's become harder and harder to sell. And at the same time, you know, a lot of our lives have become a lot busier, scheduling-wise and everything, so the drivers aren't as available on our local levels to go out and make the public appearances like they used to be able to do, you know. We have week-long car shows, and it used to be, okay, your drivers are going to be there every night meeting people, but now they might be working second shift during the week, and they can't come out. So things have changed a lot, and, you know, the economy's had a big effect on it, and just how we live our lives in general has had a big effect on it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, and it goes to show that it is, you know, it's just now a money game That's all it is. It's not like who's going to start up a new race team. We want to start up a new race team if we can get the sponsors.
Exactly.
If you can bring enough money to me.
And then on top of that, you know, if you can pull a team together. Because when you have a low-budget team or a local racetrack team, those crew guys aren't paid. You know, and even some of the traveling teams and stuff, if they don't have the budget for it, your crew might be doing it for nothing.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, it's, I don't know what, you know, what it's going to come to, but more and more you are finding these teams that are underfunded. And if you have the money and you may not have the experience, you have more of an opportunity to get in that race car and get on the track, you know, to get it Indy. To, it just depends how much money you can bring. You know, a lot of it comes like, you know, they say football, well, they've lost, you know, the heart of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems that we have lost the heart of our game also, because all it is about money.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame to see. But unfortunately, that's just what our economy has dictated for us, too, at this time. You know, the funds aren't flowing in like they used to be for sponsors. They're not just you walk into a place and go, hey, I race a car, will you sponsor me? It doesn't work like that anymore, unfortunately. It's gotten harder and harder to do that. But then again, on the flip side of things, those that are sponsoring the teams, those that are participating and helping them out, are seeing the benefits. So, you know, it's maybe scary for someone who's never been involved with the sport before, but they have to realize that race fans are loyal. They're loyal to their drivers. They're loyal to the driver's sponsors. You know, Tony Stewart, when he ran for Home Depot, all those Tony Stewart fans wouldn't go to Lowe's. They went to Home Depot. You know, John Andretti when he was Kmart car.
Right.
You know, it's all about loyalty.
Yeah. It is. So, you know, but how do you get the sponsors to understand that? I mean, yes, we are provided with demographics. Yes, we are, you know, provided with report upon report of returns and profit margin. But how do you get the sponsor to say, okay, I'm going to go out on a limb. Show me what you can do to increase my profit margin.
Exactly.
Once again, the if comes in. Yes. So, you know, we wish them luck, JTG, if they can get a second car going. It would be, you know, it'd be nice to have more of these teams with more than one car to see exactly, you know, how it's going to play out with what drivers, with the amount of sponsorship. That's what I'm interested in. You know, what defines a specific car within a specific team? Again, if they have the sponsorship, would probably define which car is which.
Exactly.
So, now, let's see. This was we reported last week that, you know, Brian Vickers is returning to the number 55. That's nothing new. So, we'll see here. Now, Ford EcoBoost is returning as a sponsor for Kenseth. It says, Matt Kenseth never laid claim to being king of the road when it comes to turning left and right in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. So the 2003 Series champion isn't about to give up as he prepares for Sunday's annual Finger Lakes 355 at the Glen. In 25 career road course starts, Kenseth is still looking for his first victory. So we'll see, you know, the we'll see how he does on that. I don't know. I wish he would do, you know, something better. I would really like to see Kenseth to win a road race. But, you know, like he says, the right and left just isn't his forte at all. Okay. Well, let's see here. Well, the final race for the number 29 red, white, and blue scheme is upon us. For the sixth and final time this season, the number 29 Budweiser Chevy of Kevin Harvick will sport the patriotic colors of the Budweiser red, white, and blue summer. This will be the last time that they're going to do that. And since as we enter the 2012 London Olympics, the Budweiser team We'll keep tabs on Dennis Boucher. He's a member of the U.S. Army who will represent the Team USA, and they're going to start promoting him on his call. So
very
that's
nice.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, let's see here.
We had one other big news thing happen, too, on Tuesday in the sport.
Go ahead, because I just lost my pace.
Dodge is done at the end of this year.
Yes, I have that actually down at the bottom to go over. There was some, you know, there's just so much I want to touch on that. I'm not really sure, you know, I mean, I've read up on it some, but why are they done?
Well, first off, none of the teams were going to sign with them. Penske left them. Penske had committed back in March to Ford. So they weren't getting any teams, which makes me wonder, were they wanting too much for their program, or were they just not wanting more, I'm not sure how to phrase it nicely, were they just wanting only top teams to carry them and not maybe working with some of the smaller teams that could have used the help from a manufacturer to give them that one-on-one attention that they need to bring them up through the ranks? You know, but they're done. It's a sign of the economy. Again, you know, Dodge doesn't think that they're making profits because of NASCAR fans. They don't think that it's helping them. But yet they're going to put more funding into the Rallycross and things like that because they brought back the Dodge Dart.
Right.
They put all this money and time and effort into developing a car, developing the Charger for 2013 for nothing. And it became apparent when the car did not show up for the testing for next year that they had this week. And that's when it became apparent that something was going on, that they didn't have anybody and they have no teams. They could not secure a single team to want to run a Dodge car in the divisions for next year.
Well, do you know that Dodge has done this before?
They have.
They pulled out of the sport in 1977 and didn't return until 2001. But since that time, they've accumulated 55 Sprint Cup victories. That's just Sprint Cup.
Right. It's not lack of success, that's for sure. They've been very successful. I mean, look at Penske. Seriously, you know, they've been with Penske and everything like that. And, you know, they've had success. They've been in victory lane, but something wasn't clicking for them.
I don't know. You know, but again, it comes back down to, you know, was the sponsors, you know, gaining a profit? What is their return? You know, on it. I mean, we know that it's not necessarily a sponsor, per se, as what we were discussing. But I know that I really, really, really wanted a Chevy Impala for one reason and one reason only. Do they not get it? But then again, their Challengers may not be in everybody's price range either. You know, nor are the Impalas, or were the Impalas, because I don't want one now. I want another one. But because we do tend to stick with what we know in racing.
Exactly. I'll admit it, I'm a Chrysler girl. You know, that's just me. I like the Dodges, I like the Chryslers, and that's what our family has.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I just wonder how long this will stay out for. If, you know, I mean, if it's going to be an extended period of time or... And what I really want to know is, do you really think it's going to affect us in any way, shape, or form?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
The only thing I could see it really having the biggest effect on is in the fan displays for Dodge's setup, and the Dodge trailers selling merchandise won't be there. So they're going to be losing the merchandise sales that they were getting. They're going to be losing... The people coming
and
visiting their booth for the test rides and stuff like that they were doing. I mean, Dodge did thrill rides and all kinds of things like that. So we've lost that aspect of things. But I'm sure Chevy and Ford and Toyota are ready to pick up the slack and fill that void.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. So, you know, I mean, it's a shame because we don't want to see anyone leave the sport. But, it is what it is. There's, you know, there's nothing we can do. A lot of unanswered questions. But, you know, we'll really see what happens with that. So now that we go back, let me go back to where I was on my, I had to go back down to my notes here. Well, let's see here. It doesn't really look like there's a whole lot of anything interesting this week. Nothing that's jumping out. You know, we've already gone over the Adderall. We've already gone over, you know, the gossip that's going around the track. But not really sure. Do we have any update on any of the lightning victims?
They did establish a fund. Give me 1 second. I just clicked out of it. There was a fund set up for the Zimmerman family to help them out. We did post that up on Garage Talk Live as soon as it came out.
We did.
Yep, that is up in there for everybody to be able to go and donate and help out the team. Pocono has set up a fund for them. Give me 1 second. They have a fund set up for those affected by the August 5th tragedy. To be able to donate to it, you're going to be needing to mail a check or money order to Pennsylvania 400 Memorial Fund. The address is Pocono Raceway, attention Pennsylvania 400 Memorial Fund, P.O. Box 500, 1234 Long Pond Road, Long Pond, PA, 18334.
Well, that's good. So, you know, hopefully we can get some donations going this way. You know, it's just a tragic event, you know, for all of them. Do we know if the track is maybe handling any type of medical for these victims? I mean, we understand that there's a Zimmerman fund, but is there any fund, you know, that's helping the victims with medical bills that weren't seriously injured, that, you know, did require a hospital stay?
That I do not know. They haven't said anything. I don't know if maybe that's what some of this fund is going to be for or not.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, that's good to know. I mean, we do take care of our family. And like you said, it is a family event. You know, I mean, it's just a tragic thing. And I just still wish that, you know, there was more that we can do, you know, to help this and still try to get answers as to exactly what happened. So, but I guess, you know, at this point. Okay, now, back on the lightning victims. Carl Edwards actually has talked to some fans, that some of the injured fans by the lightning at Poconos. It says that Carl Edwards, driver of the 99 Ford Fusion, took part in the test session at Martinsville Tuesday with recently approved 2013 NASCAR Fusion. Edwards stopped by the Infield Media Center during the lunch hour to answer questions from the media. A couple were about the fans struck by lightning. It's a pretty interesting interview. They had asked him, can you talk about the weather situation on Sunday, if there's anything more that can be done? Would drivers be in favor of stopping the race and then restarting it after weather was cleared? You know, and that's a question that we have. You know, we would like to know, you know, what the drivers take on it. Would they rather just stop the race, let the fans get to safety, and then move on? Well, Carl Edwards said, I spoke with one of the gentlemen in the hospital up there yesterday that was struck by lightning, and he told me the story in detail about what happened to him and his friends, and it sounded like a very terrible scene. I read a little bit about it and know that there's a lot of discussion about what NASCAR should have done or the track should have done. But I think at the end of the day, it's Mother Nature, and it's very difficult for anyone to take responsibility and say, we should have done this or we should have done that. And he says that it's nothing that anyone has ever expected. So, you know, it still comes down to what could have been, what should have been. But it is an act of Mother Nature, and there's not a whole lot that we can do about it. It's just, I'm still very torn on the situation as to if there was time, if they knew that the severe lightning strikes were coming. I mean, we have radar for that. We can spot that, you know, up to 30 minutes away. It's just wondering if the time was taken place. So,
and I agree. And we were discussing this, too, here. We said, you know, if you really think about a parking lot at a racetrack, it's going to take you more than 10, 15 minutes to get from your seat in the grandstands to your car, especially if you're parked far out. I mean, you think about how big Pocono Raceway is. You know, it's a huge track. It needs lots of parking. You're not going to make it to your car in 15 minutes unless you are in one of the first couple parking spots right outside the gate. But there's not that many cars that fit there. So the average walk is a half an hour, you know, plus to get out to your car dragging all your stuff with you.
Right. It's like the sinking ship of Titanic. There wasn't enough lifeboats for half. Exactly.
Yeah. And if you're in the grandstands and you've parked in the infield, well, now you got to go out of the grandstands, down through the tunnel, up through the other side, walk through the garage, you know, spectator part of it, and then keep walking out till you get to the infield, which is, you know, in the middle of the track.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, don't know if there's anything, you know, like you said, it's just a tragic event. So we have another, you know, event here. There was a local legend here in Texas, Jerry Child. He was actually shot, and he was actually a former Cup driver. He was killed in North Dakota 2 days ago. He was shot and killed at Tioga, North Dakota, Man Camp Saturday. He was a local legend here in Texas. Actually, it's just right down maybe 30 miles from me in Lufkin, Texas. It was pretty bad. The charges were being filed against Victor Scott. He was charged with terrorizing Jerry. He was also charged with previous counts of murder and attempted murder. Doesn't really go into why he was shot and, you know, why they killed him. But this man had previously been charged for murder, attempted murder, and terrorizing, yet he still had the ability to shoot and kill someone else.
Wow.
You know, it's pretty bad. Jerry Child actually raced in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series in 1974 with only 5 races, with his best finish 8th at Darlington. So, you know, our prayers go out to his family. Just a terrible, terrible event. How something like that could happen, I don't know. I do not know. Let's see what else. Anything interesting that we have? I really don't see a whole lot of interesting things. Everything is still just the basic. They're still talking about A.J. Allmendinger, talking about the listings for the Pocono ratings. You know, they're hoping that it will be and high enough to possibly overrule the Olympics this weekend. But last weekend, it wasn't. It earned the second position. And that's really about it. Other than NASCAR's evaluating their weather policy. Nothing. It sounds pretty quiet this week, which is, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Not at all. At all. So why don't you, you want to go ahead and start talking about Reading?
Yes. Tuesday night I had an awesome opportunity to go and attend an event. I am very grateful, and I'm hoping I say their last name right, but it was the Cordier family. They are the ones that run and own Shellhammer Speedway in Leesport, Pennsylvania, are now putting together racing during Fair Week in Reading. And for something like this in our area, it's been a huge tradition for years, up until the mall was built, that you would have racing in a fair in the summertime. And this year is no different. It's at a new location now. The information, everything's on our Garage Talk Live page for directions and the link and everything to find the schedule events. Tomorrow night is the last scheduled night of racing for the fair. But it brought back some neat memories of things that went on as I was growing up. You know, as I was growing up, I always would hear my mom talk about the biggest thing they did when she was a kid was you go to the fair. You go to the races and you go to the fair. You'd go on the rides, you'd go have food, and you'd watch the guys race at the end of the night. And that was something that, unfortunately, I really didn't get to experience. I was born in time to be there for the last race, but I don't remember it because I was less than a year old. So I don't have the opportunity. Yeah, I don't have the same opportunities that everybody else has, you know, that I talk to and that I know. you know, they can all tell you firsthand what it was like to be at this track and just to see the racers, you know, and everything that went on every week. So I only have learned and lived everything through what everybody else has told me. But it gave me chills to go up there and watch the racing because it just made me think, you know, this is what my mom got to see when she was a kid. You know, and this is something that she experienced. And then I looked at the grandstands and I saw the kids with their parents and just seeing the tradition being continued, which I think is amazing. And I just want to give, you know, a standing ovation to them for doing this for our area, for our fans, for our racers. You know, this track was put together by volunteers. Mike Grimm helped them build the track. He did all the work on it. There was a company that donated the steel to make the rails and the turns so nobody would go out over the walls, you know, go out outside the track where they shouldn't be, hopefully, as long as they don't get rolling too good. But it was a true team and volunteer effort to get something like this going again in our area. And, you know, there some people say it's not needed. There's other tracks in the area. You need to focus on them. But what they're not realizing is this is 1 week a year. They're hosting racing there. This tradition dates back to 1924 in our area for racing at the fair. You know, when the track shut down, they still continued the fair at, behind the mall. Then it moved a couple years ago to a new location. And it's just continued ever since. Now, here's some neat things that you don't realize. This is your typical down-home fair. We have tractor pulls. There's music. There's the rides. They have the arts and crafts displays. They have the farmers and everything showing off their fruits and vegetables that they've grown. We have the farm animals on display so you can go and see them and see the hard work. And a lot of times it's the 4-H kids that have worked with these animals, and that's what they have them on display. These kids are the ones that are raising them, taking care of them, learning everything they need to do, like shearing the sheep, everything that's involved in raising an animal on a farm. And we have racing, you know, and it's so good to see. You know, the Granges do a lot of cooking up there, so you're supporting your local community organizations when you're going. It's $10 to get in. That $10 is that's it. $10 a person.
Everything doesn't give you all the rides. I mean, there's rides. There's, yes. It's like a county fair, the old-style county fair that we see on TV.
Exactly. It's your old-style county fair. That $10 gets you your parking, unlimited use of all the rides, your music, your shows, the racing, the tractor pulls, everything it gets you into. And they were doing all kinds of specials. Kids under 3 are free. That's not bad at all. Wednesday they did kids that were 4 to 18 years old were only $5 to get in. And they did a senior day where, you know, the seniors were only $5 to get in. But even still, for $10 to get in to go on all the rides, I know when we had our fair for our fire company fundraiser, it was $16 to ride all night. This is $10, and you're getting a lot more than just ride, you know, just your rides. You're getting everything. So it's really, really nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's something that's inexpensive, too, that you can take your kids out to. You know, again, you know, remember when the carnival came? But when the circus came, you know, that's what you wanted to go. Can we go?
Well, and that's the thing. In this area, it was the thing. On a Friday or Sunday night, you'd go to the racetracks. You'd go watch the racing at Reading. You'd hear Warren Ruffner say, "Here they come. There they go." As they're going past, you know, and going down the line, he'd always announce, "Well, who's got the hot shoe tonight?" You know, and these are all the things that people remember. But unfortunately, we were starting to lose the memories of this track and lose the memories of our area. But we've had a group that has formed, and we are so thankful that they have formed this for us because they have formed the Reading Fairgrounds Historical Society. As a result of a lot of work and dedication of volunteers, there is now a mobile museum. This tractor trailer has a lot of history in itself. And inside this is pictures, artifacts, you know, clothing that your drivers wore, helmets that they wore, their shoes that they wore. And you just look at some of this stuff and look at what they used then for safety as compared to what our drivers use now. And it's amazing just to look back at our history and see how much we've evolved. And then there's the pictures. The walls are covered with pictures in this trailer. And you can just look through the line and you can see Bobby Gerhart. You can see Dick Tobias Sr. You can see Lawton Potts, you know, and just see these guys in their cars in their heyday, you know. And then I think back and go, wow, this is amazing. But then I also think back and go, well, some of these guys are still running. You know, like we have Kenny Brightbill still in our area. We still have Mimi DeSantis. And these are the guys that have paved the way for our sport to be what it is today. And it helps us to remember where we've come from and how hard, you know, everybody has worked to not only make it safer for everybody, but enjoyable for everybody. You know, they didn't just build a track in the middle of nowhere and go, I hope somebody comes. When that track closed in 1979, there were over 12,000 people there to see the last race and see Dave Kelly take the final checkered flag. And to me, that's just, you know, amazing. And it's unreal because you think about your turnouts now, and you would think you'd be having more people turning out now as the sport has grown, but you don't. And it just, to think about in 1979, we could put 12,000 people in one place to enjoy a race makes me wonder, what do we have to do to get those counts again?
Exactly. You're right. Now, back then, did they have carnival, you know, every weekend, or was it just racing?
It would be the racing on the Fridays and Sundays, but then they would have mm-hmm. an entire week of the fair.
The fair. So it was just like weekly there. It wasn't every week. The racing was just the weekends, and yearly was the fair?
Right.
Or was it weekly as the fair also?
It was just the fair once a week from my understanding. Like I said, I was too little to remember any of that. But, you know, and that's the thing, though. This is what our area was. Like, okay, Bobby Gerhart, he's an ARCA driver. He raced here. And here's something that a lot of people aren't going to realize, and they're NASCAR fans, and they probably don't even realize that NASCAR ran two races in Reading, Pennsylvania. Two, 1958 and 1959, NASCAR came to Pennsylvania to race in the Reading. Not the Poconos, in Reading. And Junior Johnson won both those races at this track. Reading was
really?
A half-mile track. And
wow.
Yeah, and they also had open wheel, though, Mario Andretti. He was one of our open wheel drivers. He was there. He's come to our reunion already to sign autographs, meet with the fans. And that's what I think is so neat, too. We have the fair. Inside this fair is a big red and white tent. Under that tent are the cars from the era and your drivers. The ones that are still around are there, meeting their fans, talking with each other, telling the stories that just would amaze anybody. You hear what they did and some of the silly things. Like, I know that one time the guys were talking about throwing juice bags between the car.
They were throwing
juice bags. If you could picture like a Ziploc bag full of juice, kind of like the original Capri Sun, but not as nicely as what we have now, and throwing it back and forth between the two car windows.
Wow.
That's the crazy little things that you hear about. And could you imagine that back then, women weren't allowed in the pits?
Well, you know, I was looking at the website, it wasn't even the website. It was the group that for the Reading racetrack. The pictures that they had in there was something else. Just old pictures. Thinking, wow, the history that goes behind that.
There is. There.
It years and years. I mean, the newspaper articles, the people, you know, the clippings look like they've been there and back 50 times.
Yeah, I mean, did you look on, if you go in there, the one group, it's called Reading Fairgrounds on Facebook. You just search for this group. And one of my favorite pictures that you can look at is there's a picture of the cars, 24 is in the picture just for you, coming out of the turn. And behind that turn is the main grandstands. And all you see are people. All along the fence, all you see are people, you know, and it's just unreal. I would have loved to have been able to see it. I would have been able to, you know, remember it. Unfortunately, I don't have that memory, but I get to have those memories from everything that everybody has told me about the track, which is what means so much to me because many people don't realize this. I am a daughter of a racer. You know, and it's something I don't talk about that much. You know, my father was not much in my life, but when he was a racer. You know, and that's one of the reasons why we didn't see eye to eye was he was one of the ones that had the typical mindset of girls don't race. But,
right.
You know, I've overcome all that, but I enjoy being able to find the pictures of my dad racing at Reading. He ran the M7. In fact, actually, a couple of the guys in there, Jim and Mr. Kemp, helped find a picture of his car for me. So I now have a picture of my dad's car from Reading. And it just amazes me because it's like one big family, and it still is. You know, everybody still looks out for each other, talks to each other, and to see all their hard work, because these guys don't get paid to keep the memories going for everybody. Every February, they put together a reunion for us to go and attend at the Reading Fairgrounds Square Mall, which is built on top of the racetrack. And these guys all do it because they care, because they want everybody to remember the times they had. And with this fair, it's hoping that, you know, they can give some of those memories to be passed down the line for future generations in our area so that the memory isn't lost. You know, it may not be the same half-mile size track. It's a lot smaller of a track. But the concept behind it is still the same, gathering together as a family, enjoying a night out of the races and fun.
Right. Well, you know, and I'm looking here, and someone has posted a Fearless Freddy's forecast from March 11th, 1973. Fearless Freddy, it's all typed up. I'm really not quite sure what type of paper it's on, but he wanted Fred Adam to come in first, Bob Gerhart to come in second, Gerald Chamberlain, Ronnie Dunston, and Don Riley. I mean, and they posted, boy, was he wrong.
Yeah.
But these people have kept this. I mean, this is from 1973, and this paper probably looks no bigger than a business card.
Yeah, and
you can see
it's all taped and everything. People have their tickets yet from this track. I mean, people have kept them. They've kept the program books that were put out. I mean, if you come to the reunion, you can see people with the photos and everything on display, and it's just amazing how much there is still out there from the track. Unfortunately, a few years ago, we lost some big pieces from it. The store in Fairgrounds Square Mall, Boscov's, used to have scenes on the walls in there from the racetrack. Amazing. I mean, it was literally from floor to ceiling pictures, like the grandstands and the cars. And the cars were suspended from the ceiling. I mean, we'd walk in, and all we were doing was looking up. We're like, oh, look, there's the car. But unfortunately, a couple years ago, they took them out, tore them down, which for me really hurt personally, because I felt like we were forgetting what that location was all about when they did that, and the way they took it down and everything like that. They didn't just, you know, nicely take it down. They sledgehammered it out, and those pictures were all lost that were on those walls. So, I mean, that was a little hard to deal with. There could have been better ways to save it and donate it to the Historical Society. I mean, these guys and girls have worked so hard to keep this memory alive in our area. And, you know, some people, like I said, question, well, why do we need another track? Well, it's not, to me, it's not about the track. It's about the memories and the opportunity that it's giving to the families. Because without that track, you know, it was a big thing. Growing up, you talk to some of the people in our area, the older generations, what'd you do when you were a kid? I went to Reading. I went and watched the races on a Friday night. You know, and that's what you did. You know,
right.
And it's funny because everybody could tell you there are different little ways of being able to see the races if they couldn't afford to get in. And it was just the stories that have come out of that track are incredible. And, you know, when the guys gather and just to hear them all talk and relive their past, to me, that's what motorsports is all about. If we can't remember where we've come from, then we have no future.
Right. Well, you know, and I'm looking here. Okay. This man is selling two 1965 Reading Fairgrounds race programs. Excellent condition with qualifying times wrote in and some autographs. If you're interested, message him. But these aren't little programs. These are bound. These are big
programs. And you see the price of how much they sold them for? Can you see that in the corner of the one? They sold them for 25 cents.
I say it's upside down in purple, so I'm having a hard time looking at that.
Yeah. 25 cents for a program, and now at most tracks you're paying $4, $5, even $10. And these were a lot thicker, lots of pictures in them. And I know Dean has some yet. He's one of the guys that we shoot with at the track, and an awesome man, knows so much about the history. And it's just amazing, you know, and it's heartbreaking when people don't understand why I feel that's so important. We have to remember where we came from. I mean, I know they're slowly starting to see some videos and stuff like that emerge out there too, so you can kind of see what went on. But like I said, if we can't remember where we came from, how do we know where we're going?
Right. And how do we keep racing alive?
Exactly. You know, racing is built on tradition. That's the biggest thing everybody has to remember, is racing in itself is tradition. You go as a family because it's something that you were taught to do when you were younger, basically. You know, my mom took me. My kids go now every week. I look forward to the day when my kids are old enough to have children of their own and they take their kids to the track for the first time. You know, to me, that is going to be a huge moment for me, because that means our tradition is continuing on. Our fan base is going to continue to grow. And that's what we need to focus on in the sport. Our kids right now are the future of our sport, whether they're a fan or a driver. And if we lose them, we lose our sport. We have to keep them interested, and we have to keep them wanting to come back for more.
Right, right. Well, you know, I mean, it's just an interesting story, you know, that it's come, you know, so full circle.
It has, you know. At the same type of basic principles, you know, the new fair is in a field. It's in an open field. It was funny, I'm driving up, and it's like, well, how am I going to know when I get there? They're like, oh, you'll know. And as I'm driving up, I just start to see everything in front of me, and I was just like, wow. You know, and I just think back and go, I wonder if this is what my mom saw or this is what she felt when she drove up there with her parents to the fair. You know, and it just makes me wonder what, you know, what it was like. You know, and like I said, I've only seen and lived it through the pictures. But just the way everybody talks about it and honors it, it just is incredible. And the next time I have the chance, and I know I have some at home, some already on file, I'll have to get more pictures of this museum that they've put together to honor our legends of the sport. You know, it was known as the track of champions, the home of champions at Reading. And it's just incredible. You know, I could sit here, Glenn Fitzcharles. I've heard funny stories about him. You know, and my mom and her favorite drivers. And, you know, it's just, okay, the Tobias family. You know, they've become one of the names in the sport. Freddie Raymer, Lawton Potts, Warren Ruffner, Tommy Hinterschitz. Dizzy Dean for the longest time was also helping run Motorama and has done so much work for our community, and he's just an outstanding man. He was one of our great racers from up there, and there's just so many of them, and I don't want any of them to get lost. I know a couple years ago a game came out and they were all excited because some of these guys were on this classic game. They were using some of the names from the drivers at Reading, you know, and it's just one of those things you can't forget about in this area. When you talk about Reading Fairground small, a lot of people have been saying this, you know, if they had a dollar for every time they heard the phrase, wish they'd bulldoze them all and put a racetrack back there, they'd have a racetrack built by now. But it's almost like the general consensus of a lot of people in, you know, the age brackets. And I hate to put myself in that, but I'm in that age bracket too now. You know, I'm in closer to the
old
rivalry. Well, I mean, for this area, I mean, for this area and everything like that, you know, while you have those who don't know what it was and, you know, weren't affected by the track and they have no clue. They're like, oh, you had races up here? Wow. You know, and they could go to the mall during fair week and they're all just looking on their race cars in the mall. It's like, yup, it's tradition.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just what this area was all about, you know. And I wrote in my article about if you build it in Reading, they will come. And, you know, they proved it. They did.
I saw that you had said that, and we had just discussed that. If they build it, I believe that was with Wayne and Eagle.
Yeah.
If you build it, they will come.
And, you know,
build
and
a track and they will come.
And that goes right back to showing fan loyalty and everything like that, because the fans came out. The fans are supporting the track. The drivers are there, you know, and like Tuesday night, drivers started at 15 years old in the slingshot division. The slingshots were your main event for Tuesday evening. It was part of their Slinger Speed Weeks, which I think is kind of cool. They traveled, it's kind of like your Sprint Speed Weeks and your sports, your Modified Speed Weeks. You know, they travel from track to track and, you know, made the best driver win at the end of the week. But the fans were there watching this race and watching these 27 cars compete. They introduced the drivers. They lined the cars up in front of the fans in the grandstands, lined them up on the entry road there to get out to the track, introduced the drivers one by one, starting from the rear, going to the front. The drivers acknowledged the fans, got in their cars, got ready to go racing. You know, it's just something that a lot of tracks have gotten away from, unfortunately. And I think that's what, you know, your local tracks and everything are your building blocks for your Dave Blaney's to get up in the higher levels. I mean, it's just your drivers have to start somewhere. And what they were doing was getting the fans involved in the pre-race activities, which was great. You know, they got the fans involved there. Okay, here's starting this position is Matt Miller. And, you know, acknowledge the crowd. He'd get in his car, get strapped in while they'd start announcing who the next driver was.
Driver introduction. We haven't gotten away from that. It's the local tracks that have gotten away from that.
Exactly. And they did their own version of it, and it was just amazing. Because, you know, those people are going to go to work the next day, and some of the people may know they race, some may not. But for that night, everybody in those grandstands knew who they were.
Exactly. I understand that. Well, you know, I mean, it's a good thing that they're keeping it alive. And you know, even though it's only once a year, it's still a once-a-year experience. It's still something that you can do. If you're not going for the racing, you're going for the carnival. If you're not going for the carnival, you're going for the racing. It all works out. You know, it's something to take kids to. You know, and for those that keep this tradition alive, you know, hats off to them. It's what needs to be done in our sport.
It does. And I have to tell you, that family is amazing what they did. But also their racers are just as supportive of them and all the efforts that they do at Shell Hammers. A couple weeks ago, we had a storm come through, knock some stuff down on the track, knock trees down, the whole nine yards. Need a lot of cleanup work. The family was out there working on the track. The drivers and teams came out and started helping them work on that track. You know, unfortunately, they couldn't get it cleaned up. Well, they got it cleaned up, but they didn't have electric, so they couldn't run that Saturday. But Friday before, they were all there working together as one giant family, trying to make it ready to everybody go race in the following day. You know, and that's what this sport is all about. Everybody coming together and pitching in for the good of everybody else in the sport.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, I just wish them, you know, success and hope it continues.
I do too. And, you know, I am all for this track. I am 100% for bringing racing back into Reading. It's, like I said, it's not your modifieds, it's not your open wheel like it was when the track was originally built over on Fifth Street Highway. But what it is now is your slingshots can go compete there, your 600cc modifieds can go compete there, the micro sprints can go compete there. In fact, tomorrow night's lineup, give me 1 second, let me pull it back up.
Okay.
Weather permitting,
Weather permitting
tomorrow night, because the weather in our area has been nasty and they're calling for some really bad storms tomorrow night. So weather permitting, it's going to be micro sprints at the Reading Fair.
Okay. Well, when you're done with that, I've got the nationwide news pulled up. So we'll be able to go over that when you're ready.
Sure. What do you got going on?
Well, first of all, I've got something I just have to say, because, you know, I can't keep it in. I've got to vent. I'm not a country person, you know, I'm not going to tell you my age, but I'm about 29 years old, and I love the 80s, you know, I don't know who introduced me to it, it has nothing to do with my age, but my daughter had it on this country music CMT, and she says, Mama, is that her? Is that her? And I said, oh my gosh, what in the world is Danica Patrick doing in that stupid video driving a car? Have you seen it?
I knew she was in there, yeah.
Really? Really? Do we need that?
No.
Do we need her We have to watch her day in and day out. Race hub, the garage cams, anything and everything. I'm tired of seeing her. You know, I don't know how to state this, but you'll know that I am 100% for women in motorsports. But if I have to defend her as a woman in motorsports, I'm ready to just give up.
I know. But it is what it is. You know, she's not going anywhere, obviously. The fans, she has the fan base and everything like that.
But where? You know what? If someone can show me a fan other than a man between the ages of 18 and 43, 52, 67, I don't care. Show me a man that isn't her fan. They all are, for one reason and one reason only. Go to the website. You'll see the unedited version. Oh, it's my goat. You know, I can take off my top and say, you know, show just a little bit and say, for the unrated version, go to www.garagetalklive.com. You know how many fans we have? I can guarantee our chat room will be filled up, and I can guarantee that they'll all register and start talking. Because all of a sudden, they're going to want to see what's on that www. That's all I have to say.
That's true.
That's all I have to say. You know, I know we have a caller on the line. I don't know if he wants in on this. You want to find out and see?
I'll go find out. Hold on.
Go find out. Because this is just a topic that I'm tired of. And I want to get to the bottom of it. I'm done. I want a man's opinion.
Okay.
And I want to see what's going on. What's going on, honey?
Y'all need to take an Adderall or something. Relax. Calm down a little bit.
I don't want to take an Adderall because
no,
if I do, I might be suspended.
No, you give her Ritalin to calm her down.
How about smoking? Maybe you need to smoke some pot or something because y'all wound right up tight like a banjo, only different.
So how is Wayne doing? Wayne, our wonderful caller driver, who is actually now today, he has taken the number 24 with SR2 up to Watkins Glen. Am I correct?
Yeah, we're here now. We've been here since 7:30, actually.
Great,
left
all
Mooresville,
set up, ready to go.
Left Mooresville at exactly 7:29:58 this morning. And
he's timing himself now. We're in trouble.
Well, no. Did you see that little? You know that little? You know you got your you got a GPS, right? Everybody's got GPSs.
We all have
and
GPS.
It says,
I stole my husband's. I don't have one.
And it says arrival time. Well, that's not an arrival time. That is a suggested time to beat. So
you sound like my husband. Who can hear the husband?
Nothing any funnier than watching a GPS go backwards in time.
Right. All right, Wayne. I need your opinion.
Go ahead. I think she's an idiot, and I think they're all idiots.
Okay, that's all I need to know. So if I were to put on this really cute push-up with a little bit of, you know, lace, maybe some bling on the inside of my shirt, and have a little bit of lace, and went real close up and said, for the unrated version, go to www.garagetalklive.com and see more. How many fans would I have?
I don't know. Let's find. You know what? You know what? Actually, this sounds like a scientific experiment. This sounds like an experiment. And I think we need to find out exactly. This is sort of like why did chicken cross the road? Which came first, chicken or the egg? Or, you know, you got your chocolate, my peanut butter. Well, you got your peanut butter, my chocolate. Well, we need to get an exact answer on what happened first.
I remember those commercials.
All right, Tammy, call out the bustier and take a picture. I'll go ahead and post it on the website.
So I think you ought to go to...
Why did I get volunteered for this?
I think you ought to go to your local glamour shops tomorrow. Go get yourself a hookup photo. Put it on the website. And,
did you,
you
just
know,
say
for,
hookup photo?
Whatever you want to call it.
Glamour shots? Hey, wait a minute. And glamour shots, what? I can't put my own makeup on?
whatever, go do what you're done folding it. I figured you needed two hands to push something up, so I figured, you know, who's going to take the damn picture, you know?
Not that low.
You just got done saying yourself that you'd have to push them up.
Okay. We have a listener that just said, don't encourage me, Wayne. And I have a feeling this listener probably has known me for about 13 years and knows how to win a karaoke contest.
Wait, can I use my race
uniform? Getting what?
Can I use my race uniform?
Whatever the hell you want to wear. Why not? That's what Domenica wears.
Domenica?
Domenica.
No. Sparkle Pony. The NBS girl likes to call her Sparkle Pony.
Sparkle Pony, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I guarantee there's some horses that she's ridden to get where she's at.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
a thought. Anyways.
Casting couch?
Hey,
casting couch?
Well, whatever. You know, I can't prove anything at all. She ain't been on mine, so I can't say one way or the other yet.
Yeah,
time will come. I'll get her by the time she's about 90, but that's all right. Anyways.
Well, some of my guys are now saying, no, don't use the driver's suit. Use your fire gear. Oh, we're in trouble now.
Hey, you know what? You know what I said? Bingo. We just hit on another one right there. Which one looks better? Do them both. Which one looks better?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no. My husband might be happy.
You know, I can make someone happy, too, but we're just not going to go there.
Ah, that bird ain't climb.
Huh?
Nothing. Anyways.
Something more interesting.
Something more interesting, exactly.
I think y'all ought to do it. You know what? I think just what the hell, you know? If not, we'll just do it for charity or something.
Hey, Wayne, I'll put you up to that task in Dover, and you can do the photography. How's that?
Take whatever. Let's get naked.
We'll be in Bristol.
We'll
see you there.
No, seriously. I think we ought to.
That's
true,
yeah. If we're there, we'll do that then.
We're going to hook us up so that to see the final product, you have to find a way to donate a dollar, you know, somehow or another.
I can do that.
And then all those funds can go to this racetrack you're all talking about.
That we could do.
You know what I'm saying? So keep it up for about a month or so. You know, have that whole, you know, to see more, click here. And then you click there, it's like, to see more, you got to pay a dollar. It's like going to the circus, like going to the carnival. You got to pay a dollar to go into the sideshow. You know what I mean?
Okay,
so,
yeah. Can we set this fund up? Can we donate it to a specific driver for a specific driver fund?
No,
we could do it for the Historical Society. We could just do for NASCAR charities. Either one.
Nah, you know what? NASCAR got enough money as it is. They don't need no
okay,
more.
Okay, then we're going to do for the Historical Society because they're trying to earn enough money to get an actual building to build a museum. So.
Yeah, whoever. But, yeah. Yeah, and then that
you
driver.
Know, I think we should pick a specific driver and
I'm
put
yeah,
and
and
put
I'm gonna
the
actually,
winning picture on the hood.
Yeah. Absolutely.
As
there
long as
go.
It's not our picture,
absolutely.
I'm happy.
All right, then. So let's get off the X-rated stuff for a minute.
Right. What do you got going on for us, Wayne?
You like how I said that? You see that lead-in? Get
Wait,
off
I
the X-rated stuff?
Do it already, so.
No, I'm actually going to sponsor that driver that you like so much. I'm going to write him a check because apparently, from what I understand, you can write a check whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. It don't matter. You just give you a check and you're funded.
You're funded, right. Just don't catch it.
Just write a check. Anyways. Hey, I gotta do a little bit of a, oh man, you know what? I hate to be the bad guy, but y'all were talking earlier about lightning and stuff like that, all right? Now,
yeah, go
the, the opinions that are about to be expressed are those of mine and mine alone and do not represent y'all's radio show or anything that y'all have. This is all on me. So any of the haters out there, you can call me directly. Well, no, don't call me. But anyway,
I got his number.
We will forward all the hate mail to him.
You know, I'm up here at Watkins Glen right now, and actually NASCAR has actually stepped up to the plate a little bit. They got them a tent out here, and they're selling common sense. You can get it by the bucket. You can get it by the handful. You can get it by intravenously fed. You can take it in a pill form. Just don't go to a drug test afterwards. But at any rate, when you was a little kid and you was at the lake swimming, better yet, you're at the lake swimming and your kids are in the water, at what point do you say, all right, y'all got to get out of the water.
Get
it looks like it's
water.
Getting ready. Okay. Now,
right.
And I put this to the test the other night. I sat outside while the storm was coming, and I could see that storm coming for miles and miles and miles and miles before it got to my house. Now, the only other time that I've seen it show up quickly, just like out of the blue, the snap of a finger, was a Garfield cartoon I watched the other night, and all of a sudden this cloud comes over and zaps Garfield and takes off again. All right? So I am sorry. You know, it sucks for these people to get zapped like they did. But you know what? It's not NASCAR's fault. It's not the track's fault. It's nobody else's fault but their own. At what point, America, do we stand up and say, we got to take responsibility for our own good? Because if NASCAR is going to take care of their butts, I swear to God, I will be on top of the highest point here at Watkins Glen this weekend, holding on to an aluminum pole, begging to get lit up. I hope I don't die, but if I don't, at least I'm going to be taken care of for a while. And I'm not trying to be insensitive to this whole thing, but you know what? I got neighbors that got burned out of their house a few weeks ago. Nobody's stepping up to the plate to help them. We got homeless people walking up and down the road, highways. Nobody's stepping up to help them. I'm sorry that these fans got zapped. I really, really am. Sucks to be them. You know what? This was your time. I have to say, at some point, common sense kicks in and says, wow, the whole broadcast, all they're talking about, rain's 45 minutes away. Severe showers are an hour away.
Okay, but they're 30 minutes away from their car.
You know what?
They're 30
then guess what? At what point do you say, you know what? We're going to go to the car because it looks like we're fixing to get some weather.
Uh-huh.
They were on their way to the car.
And guess what? They should have gone to their car a lot sooner. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
This is nobody's fault. This is. I love Monday morning. Monday morning, everybody's like, "Oh, geez, you think NASCAR is going to change their policy on the way the weather sets in?" Yeah, because people may want to believe that NASCAR controls the weather, but they don't. It's just one of them things. So if it was a completely clear day and lightning has been known to strike on a completely clear day without a cloud in the sky, what do you do then?
Right.
So here's what we're going to do. I got the solution because I am a.
We're going to pick you up and take a poll?
No, Charlotte's got the solution right now. We are not going to sit in the stands. We're going to bring back the drive-in movies. We're going to sit in front of that big screen in our cars and watch them race cars go round and round and round and round. But we're going to sit inside the infield of the track in our cars like we're at the drive-in. Then everybody's protected. Nobody's got to run to their car. Nobody has to take responsibility for their own actions. See what I'm saying?
Therefore, you can't feel, you can't see, and you can't smell the racing.
You know what? That's not my – listen, I got to protect myself because I can't afford being sued by you people. And I can't protect everybody. Just like them folks up in Talladega a couple of years ago when Brad punted Carl up into the fence. I am sorry that those things happened. I'm sorry that those things happen, okay? But guess what? If you read the back of your ticket, you are coming here under your own risk, knowing that, at what point do you say to yourself, okay, I'm at a racetrack, the car's going by me at 180 mile an hour, there's probably a pretty good chance that something might happen. Hell, I got hit in the back of the head with a piece of rubber back in Daytona when Jeff Bodine went skating down across the front stretch. Maybe I ought to go back and sue him for that, you know? I just have a serious problem with, instead of saying, you know what, we should have gone to the car a lot sooner, instead of saying, well, NASCAR should have called the race sooner. If NASCAR would have called the race sooner, then we'd have gone to our car sooner. Well, guess what?
Gordon might not have won.
Then guess what? If your mama hadn't bought you a ticket to go to the race for the day, you wouldn't have got lit up by lightning.
Well, not
so maybe
only
it's your
that.
Maybe it's your mama's fault.
If NASCAR wouldn't have pushed it to halfway, they all would have been complaining, well, I have to go to work tomorrow. I can't come see the race if they would have had to push it off till Monday, which is what would have happened.
And exactly. If NASCAR would have stood up and said, all right, we're closing the race down. We're going to finish it off Monday because we got weather that's an hour away and we're not quite sure what's going to happen. Every one of them people in that stands would have bitched, complained, moaned, cried, and screamed, yelled, and hollered Monday morning. This is bull crap. I can't believe they did that. So you cannot satisfy everybody, but there is a common denominator. It's called taking responsibility for your own. It wasn't their action. It just happened. It's just one of those things. It's their time was up, you know. So if it wasn't then, everything was set in motion before those people even come to the track. They just don't, you know. They're just looking for somebody to blame because they don't want to say, yeah, okay, it was. You know, if we'd have turned left out of the driveway this morning, maybe it wouldn't have happened. But we turned right instead. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to get all spiritual or anything like that, but it just bothers me. It really, really bothers me, especially with as tough of a time that this sport is having right now to stay alive. So this weekend it's going to be crappy up here at Watkins Glen possibly. How many people are going to stay away because, geez, I don't want to get hit by lightning like that guy did last week. I'm not going to no NASCAR races. Geez, you get hit by lightning when you go there. So, you know, that's just...
Yeah. I understand that, Wayne. That point is fully taken. There's, you know, the midnight showing of the Hunger Games coming out on the 19th or the 15th. My daughter wants to go. And you know what I told her? I'm not taking you to no midnight showing.
Why not? But her friends are going.
Well, because.
Why aren't you going to let her go?
Because them crazies might come out and say, look, another midnight showing. Let me be a copycat and shoot up this theater.
You know what? So guess what? I can go into a theater during the Saturday matinee if I want to and start unloading. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but you're doing exactly what these people. No. Let me back up. First of all, how old is your daughter?
She's 12.
Okay, what the hell is she doing out at midnight? She should be in bed by 8 o'clock at
night. I think she's going to say, Uncle Wayne, please, can I go? And you're going to break
No,
it.
Absolutely
yeah, you
not. There ain't no way in hell. I mean, I'm from the old school. But 8 o'clock, once the streetlights come on, your ass better be, you better be home and heading to bed. You, the streetlights come on. We didn't have streetlights where I live, but, you know. But the sun goes down, once you couldn't see the sun anymore, your ass better be home, in bed, and you know, going to sleep. But anyways, no, hell no. Midnight's way too late. But still, even those people that don't go to the theater anymore, you're doing exactly what these clowns want you to do. They are still controlling you, these Ronald McDonald-looking nut jobs. The other thing about Dodge, I'm bouncing around here. The other thing about Dodge take full advantage of this opportunity right now. Because guess what? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this could be your last opportunity to ride in a Dodge Charger, just like the ones that you see on the track. So guess what? People are going to be lining up to say, you know what?
No.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to be able to do it next year. I'm not going to be able to do it. I can do it now. I can do it now. I guarantee you. You watch. I'm telling you right now. I got to get my Dodge T-shirt because I may not be able to get one next year. You know what I'm saying? So this is a – are they going to come back? Hell, yeah. They're going to come back. They're regrouping. That's all they're doing, in my opinion. I don't have any inside information.
So what I said about, you know, I mean, I still want an Impala. I still want it.
I sent it to my grandmother,
so I
got her one. You're not old enough. You're too young for an Impala. And you're not in law enforcement,
Excuse me, Monte Carlo. You know, because I want the Jeff Gordon edition.
Yeah.
Haven't you seen those? Those are, like, totally awesome. You know?
Yeah, you know, I've never had the desire for people to think that I was gay, so I wouldn't want to drive around in a Jeff Gordon edition.
Monte Carlo. You know, did he win? Did he win last week?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Lightning struck.
He won.
Huh?
Lightning struck, so therefore he won. I heard you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You know, guess what? Bet lightning won't strike twice.
It did.
Yeah,
it will.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, okay, yeah, in the record books it goes down as a win, but everybody knows, you put on the smile on TV, they say, hey, we're taking it away, we can get it. But you know deep down inside they're going, this isn't the way I want it. Because the if by chance he wins a race again, the first words out of his mouth is, this is exactly how we wanted to do it, not like that rain short and stuff. All right.
You weren't with us on Monday night. Monday night, I did bring that point up. You know, as ecstatic as I am, you got the text message.
I was trying to figure out how to get home.
Yeah, I know.
How was I? Don't feel bad.
hold on. Let me get back to my train of thought. You know, my
question train's gone off the track.
Thanks. question was, you know, as much as I was just ecstatic that he won.
Yeah.
Did he win? Did he win? I didn't see him running around doing donuts with his feet. You know,
well,
I wanted to see the smoke.
Do you understand how hard it was raining there?
I do.
Yes.
It was raining so hard. I talked to some guys over at Phoenix on Tuesday. The guy told me, he said it was like standing in front, it was like standing above an inch and a half fire hose and having it on wide open. He said it was just absolutely the most, and these are boys from the south that are used to these hurricanes and these torrential southern downpours. He said, I never in my life seen anything like this. He said, I thought God himself was coming down to say hello.
Those trees were bending down almost to the ground, touching it. I mean, I was surprised none of the RVs or anything. It was wicked, and I did not leave that media center. I was not moving out.
Why not?
Why
didn't you leave the media center?
Because I'm terrified of.
What is the real reason why you were inside the media center and did not leave?
It's safer.
Ah, geez, just like you see the clouds coming. Why did you go to the media center? Because you've seen the clouds coming, maybe? Because
I was getting dripped on.
Okay, so you've seen the potential for a storm, so you took cover.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know what? Sorry about you in the stands, but next time buy a better ticket and you could have got to the infield media center.
No. Even Brad Keselowski came in there and hung out with us.
Sorry to hear that.
He was soaked. He didn't make it. He's like, this is the closest building I could get to.
Anyway.
Well, you know, back to me. Hello. That's my win.
You win.
My win. I won. I picked him. I won. And so my question is, you know, Wayne, you've been around long enough. You know, Do you think the drivers, yes, they're excited that they won, but do you think they feel cheated out of their win? Because is it a win? Is it a win?
No.
Did they take
the
checkered flag?
It's a gimme.
It's a gimme.
It's just like,
right.
Okay, it's like this. It's like, let me put it to you this way. Let me answer that question with an example. 1990, maybe? My date's probably going to be off. A gentleman by the name of Derek Cope crossed the finish line at the Daytona 500. Did he win that race? Or was he just happened to be at here's a guy that had been running 43rd all the entire race, and just because the way the pit stops landed and the caution came out, he crossed the finish line. Technically, yes. In the record books, yes. Did he work for that win? I don't know. I beg to differ, because anything that shortened by other than a checkered flag saying we've run the entire laps and everybody's giving it 100%, guess what? The other day they gave it 50% because that's all they were fighting for. They weren't fighting for the win. They were fighting to be in the right position when the rains came.
Right, the strategy position.
The strategy,
so he won
exactly.
The strategy game. He won the strategy game.
He won a game of chess. He did not win Battleship. How's that sound?
Cause,
did that work?
Because he was soaked from being sunk, basically.
Yeah,
okay.
He was soaked for that, probably because he was crying tears of, oh, my God, I can't find it. It's been so long. I don't know how to get to Victory Lane. I don't know how to get there. It's been so long since I've been there. What do I do? Junior, where's Victory Lane at?
Wayne.
What? Yeah.
Wayne.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. I have nothing more to say, but Wayne. It's time to
All right, then. All right.
You know, I still took the win. I still won.
Whatever.
I still moved.
You got a trophy in your house. That's all that matters. You got a trophy. Good
That's
for
all
you.
That matters. I got my trophy. You're right. I got my trophy. So, Wayne, tell us about what's going on over the next week. I mean, are any of the cars coming back?
I doubt it very, very much. I was actually up here last year. We did the same thing. Even the bigger teams, for instance, the number 2 was right next to me. Excuse me, that was Elliot.
Did you fall out of your recliner there?
Did I what?
Did you fall out of your recliner?
Did I fall out of my
recliner?
No. Actually, to be honest with you, I found a little redneck store here on the way in, and I swear to God, you remember that scene out of Deliverance where they was all sitting around the cabin and a little fellow with weird ears was sitting there playing the guitar? You ever see that movie, the old boy sitting there playing the banjo?
Yeah, unfortunately, we've all seen that movie.
Well, I went to that store just a few minutes ago, I think.
Really?
But anyway, yeah, I bought a sandwich over there, and I don't think I probably should have ate it. Is roast beef supposed to be green?
Oh, stop.
Yeah,
stop.
I bit into it, and it was green. And I was like, you know, I'm really thinking this isn't the color of roast beef. I mean, it was green eggs and ham, that's one thing. But, yeah, I don't think roast beef is supposed to be green. So, anyways, no, I don't think anybody's going back. I think everybody's staying up here. I know we are because I can't wait to get to Montreal.
Yeah,
the anticipation. Did Montreal?
Yeah.
Like 3 hours, I think.
Not counting customs.
3 hours. Maybe
so
four.
So bad? And how long
Maybe
did it
four.
Take you to get there? Took you
to where I'm
hours?
At now? To where I'm
yeah.
at now, it took me... Well, it's because I had to stop for fuel. And what people don't understand, fueling up a truck isn't just like fueling up a car. We just pull up the pump and slide your card in and off you go. The whole process that has to go along with it. So it's like it literally. And there's a bird that usually rides with me that could answer the same question. And it takes an hour. You know, by the time you pull off the highway and get back on the highway, you've wasted an hour. So we'll call it 11 hours of driving. But
really?
Yeah, we'll go 4 hours. And then somehow or another, I'll be back Sunday because we've only got, we race Bristol, Friday night, I think, after we get back. So.
On the 24th, correct.
You know, is it a Friday or Saturday?
It's a Saturday.
All right. Well, that sucks. I was hoping it would be a Friday night race. But anyways, that's actually not bad because that'll give us Monday through Friday to get stuff together. I'm pretty confident we'd have to park over there on Friday because it's going to be us there. Oh, actually, no. It's going to be a full event. There's trucks, us, and Cup there, I believe.
Correct.
Well, that'll be
that
a joyous
correct.
Time. That'll be a joyous time, but anyways,
yeah.
Live from Watkins Glen. It's freaking hot up here, I'm going to tell you what. Muggy, muggy, muggy. But apparently they're calling for 100%, 150 to 200% chance of rain for tomorrow, I think.
No.
So.
We're supposed to get some really bad storms in this area tomorrow.
Guys, I looked it up.
I'm watching one right now. I don't know how far away it is, but it's...
You're watching rain, or you're watching what?
No, I'm watching lightning. I'm watching the sky light up, and I'm not taking cover because I'm not scared because I'm kind of tough like that. But it's actually kind of cool to sit here and watch it all by myself. I got to tell you, there's a piece. There's actually it's really really kind of eerie to be inside the garage area because you hear there's a few other guys wandering around, but you've got all these haulers here. You got the fans out there wandering around, and actually the crowd turnout so far is pretty amazing. A lot of that's the wine and cheese eaters for the GTs. The GTs are racing up here this weekend too. So, but
yeah,
anyway,
French people, come on now.
Hey, there you be. Don't you make fun of the French people, that me. They're good people. Thank God. Gotta love Canadian strippers. They're awful friendly. Can't wait to get there.
Oh, my.
What?
Nothing.
We'll take
Nothing.
Pictures. We'll send
okay,
you pictures.
Please.
No.
Take
no,
pictures.
I could take Canada, I can take it or leave it. It's actually more of a pain in the butt coming out of Canada than it is going in. Going in is pretty simple. You just kind of look at them and stare and just kind of yes and no. They don't, surprisingly enough, if they don't speak English, there's no push one for English, press two for Spanish or any of that. You either speak French or you're, and if they choose not to, they don't have to speak English. You know, they're pretty proud of that fact that, you know, they're not going to accommodate you. It's up to you to, you know, to learn their language. So, but coming back into the States is a real pain in the ass.
You're just not understanding that. I mean, because it's U.S. people. It's American-speaking people. Hey, you know what? I'm a NASCAR driver, hauler driver. You know, look at me. I'm cool. Let me in.
Yeah, that's all the more reason that we don't want you here because, by the way, my wife ran off with one of you guys. No, that's never happened. But no, basically what makes it so hard is the fact is that they want to verify that you are indeed who you are on the five pieces of identification that say that you are who you are, including passports, that the U.S. government gave to you because of documents that you supplied to them unseen, which is amazing, that you can get a passport and not even have to look at anybody. But anyways, but they want to make sure that you are indeed a U.S. citizen. They're also crazy about what are you bringing into the country. So they want to X-ray every friggin' truck. Well, if you've got 43 trucks, then you got to remember, when we leave out of there, we normally leave out with the GT guys because we normally race the same day. They race in the morning, we race in the afternoon. But you can't leave until everybody's done racing once you're inside Montreal. So it's quite a cluster at the border on the way home. And then we have to stop before we go into the country. We have to stop. There's a place up there Lake, is it, what the hell is the name of Champlain, New York. We have to get what they call get your trucks turned down, because tractor trailers in Canada are only allowed to run 62 miles an hour, max speed. So you actually have to stop. They have to hook into your computer and turn your truck down so that your truck will only go 62 miles an hour. And Canadian officials have been known to, they can plug their computer into your truck and tell where your governor set on your truck to find out how fast you can or can't go. And it's like a $12,000 fine if you get caught. and they run you out of the country, and the chances of getting back in are usually pretty slim. But
let's touch on that for a minute. Say you're going 67 miles an hour, and you get that $12,000 ticket. Who gets that ticket? Are you getting the ticket, or is the team getting the ticket?
I'm the driver of the truck. It's my responsibility to make sure it gets done.
All right. Do you make sure it gets done, Wayne?
I'm going to tell you right now, as much as people want to think that we make all kinds of money, I guarantee you, I'll dump that kind of money in Vegas, but I'll be damned if I'm going to give it to a court. So, yeah, I get it done. It costs $100 to get it done. But now, the team, of course, will pay for that. You pay to have that done, and the team, of course, covers the expense. It's not like it comes out of my pocket. But so why wouldn't you do it? A lot of guys won't because they're Rambos, and they don't have to. They're rebels. I ain't doing all that because I might have to sit and wait 5 minutes for him to do it, and I don't have time for that stuff. Well, okay. But I absolutely get it done. There's no way I would go into Canada without getting it done. It's only on commercial motor vehicles. You don't have to get your cars done. It's just commercial motor vehicles. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Now another question. For the life of me, I can't remember if it was me talking to you or to someone else about the fueling in Canada.
Yeah. In Watkins Glen, we fuel the cars on the right side because of the configuration of the track. So that when you come down to the pit lane, the right side of the car is the side of the car that's up against pit wall. Compared to a normal oval track where we fuel on the left side of the car, because when we pit, the left side of the car is closest to pit wall. Well, right. we have to change all that stuff around, because even though Montreal is a road course, the way the configuration of pit road is, we fuel on the left-hand side. So we have to change all the fuel heads around from – this is what we'll do we race, what, Saturday? Yeah, so we'll do that on Sunday and Monday. We basically have to cut a new hole. Most of the guys have already cut the holes, but if you haven't, you have to cut your hole. You have to reroute your fuel, your filling hose and your vent tube. You have to patch the hole that was on the other side. Anything that was on the left is now on the right. Everything that's on the right now has to go back onto the left, basically. So.
Okay. How long does that take? What is that?
You know what? Believe it or not, you could if you really really humped at it. You know what? People will dispute me on this, but if you came in Sunday and started cranking on it, which Sunday we probably won't, because it's a pain in the butt to be here working while the Prima Donna Cup guys are racing. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? while they're racing, so we'll come in Monday. We'll work Monday and Tuesday. I think Wednesday. I can't remember when we go to park, but we'll get a day off up here. We'll get a day or two. depending on, and that's the other thing too. When you cross into Canada, the whole thing is scheduled out. We cannot cross until a certain day. And I, once I get my paperwork, I'll know what day that is. But so we'll be there entertaining. The problem is entertaining ourselves here in Watkins Glen. There's not. Don't get me wrong. This place is absolutely beautiful. It's the land that time forgot. But that's the problem. It's the land that time forgot.
So there's no closet stuff for you to go to?
Yes, there is. You go down to the town hall and you can go square dancing if you're lucky. And I'm
tell you to come visit, but you're like 4 hours away.
I'm gonna try to talk some of the guys into going down tomorrow night. We're gonna hit the VFW hall. They're having a square dance session and a singles mingle with punch and cupcakes.
No, really. Are there nightclubs? Are there? I mean, there's really not anything like that there for y'all to go and entertain yourself.
Yeah. No. You know, I gotta say that the hotels are quite an adventure. You usually have to have your GPS to get to your hotel because it's not like when you go to your hotel from here, you better bring a snack because you don't know quite how far long it's gonna take because there's nothing around here. There really isn't. I mean, there's downtown Watkins Glen, but there's no. You know how teams are. We've got so much money that we choose to stay far away so that we don't have to pay so much because anything that is close. Because there is nothing close, it would be ignorantly expensive.
Right.
Which, you know, I've never understood either. And I'm thinking on the side of some of these motorhomes are pretty sweet, and even some of these little campers are pretty sweet. I'm surprised actually a lot of these teams don't say, okay, we're gonna go to Camping World, which by the way happens to be a serious sponsor for the truck guys, but they also set up displays at the nationwide races and at the Cup races. But why? I'm surprised that we don't. Tom Johnson, and we don't go to them and say, okay, I want, you know, 10 campers at the campground, or, you know, they have a sectioned off area that's just for NASCAR teams, and that's where the guys stay.
Do they have fan parking up there, like a fan campground or anything like that?
Where, here, Watkins Glen?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, the whole place.
There you go. Just go out there. You'll get entertainment.
And you know what? No, that's not a bad. You know, listen, that's not unheard of. That's not unheard of. I remember back in the day, you used to do that. You didn't have a hotel to stay in because you didn't have money. You better go out and start talking to some fans, and you know, some of the guys have a couple of cocktails too many, and guess where they're spending the night? Right there out there in the lawn chair in front of your newfound friend's camper. You know.
In 2005.
Yeah.
I was up in Charlotte, and I was coming back. We were actually
Is this something your daughter needs to hear or not? I mean, maybe she's not going to hear.
In the other room. I was coming back. It was practice or something, and I was coming back from the racetrack. And I know the campground is not Tom Johnson, but it's the one directly across from the main entrance of the track. What is that campground? Whatever. It doesn't matter. But I was actually walking back. I said, you know, I'm just going to walk back to the RV. And these guys in the Crown Royal.
You're talking about the one down by the drag strip?
Yeah, next to Tom Johnson.
Yeah, okay, I know what you mean. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay, right next to Tom Johnson. And I was coming down, and the guys in the Crown Royal golf cart says, hey, do you need a ride? Well, heck yeah, I have on like 3-inch heels and I'm walking down there. Of course I want to ride. Well, do you want to stop at our motorhome and have a drink? Well, you know what? I'm sorry, Crown Royal, you know, pours freely over there. I said, well, of course I do. So instead of going back to my RV, I go to, you know, the Crown Royal Prevost.
Wait a minute, back up. Instead of going to your RV, you instead chose to get into a golf cart with two completely strange men and go to their RV and go drinking. Okay. And this is the same person that just told their 12-year-old daughter they can't go to a midnight showing.
That was before the mass murders. Okay. So we go. You know, so I'm going down there. You know, we got some Crown Royal and Coke going. You know, we're having some drinks. And I have to use the restroom. And I said, oh, and I'm thinking that this is their RV for promotion. Well, they are the promoting guys, you know. But,
right, right.
So they tell me, well, go on in. I walk in, and I'm telling you, you know, I've been in Prevost after Prevost after Prevost. They're beautiful. This
Listen,
one
whatever,
is
you, whatever you do on a tour bus is your business. We don't need to know about all that.
Exactly.
Anyways, go ahead.
This Prevost was absolutely gorgeous.
In the RV.
Exactly. So I walk in. I'm going to the restroom. It's all the way in the back, and mind you, they've got leather benches. I mean, just beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And I go through this door to go to the restroom, and all there is a restroom. There's no shower in this RV. Not that I wanted to shower or anything, but they have bunk bed after bunk bed after bunk bed.
Yeah. It was a regular tour bus.
Exactly. That's all it is. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
it's a regular tour bus.
Luxury.
It's for the crew guys. It's a giant bunch of,
you're right. And that point brings me is to, well, you know, Crown Royal obviously had it right. Why are they going to put these guys up in a hotel when they can just buy a $1 million motorhome for the, you know, for the race to travel from race to race to race and let them all sleep in there?
They probably didn't even buy it. They probably said, well, let me see. Crown Royal people will see that the Crown Royal people are in this kind of a camper, so I own this camper, so I'm going to give it to them to use. But whatever. You're right.
Exactly.
You know, there's no
exactly.
I mean, there's guys that would be above and beyond that, but I mean, there's some of these motor coaches, even the pull behind fifth wheel campers. There's some of those that are pretty fancy schmancy too, you know.
Oh, the Montanas are gorgeous, yeah.
You know, but anyway,
now you're making me miss mine.
But you know, you do bring up a point. Why don't they do this? Why do they have to stay in the hotels? Is it to give them the quiet that they need prior to the race? Is it for any of that reason? Do you think?
Yeah. Because normally, what happens when we go back to the hotel after a day at the racetrack? Usually, what happens is we go back and each person will individually shower. Whatever happens there, and then we all sit around. We each get together in either a room or in a couple of rooms, and we all grab our Gideon's Bibles and we sit around and we have Bible study. And then after we do Bible study, then we go out in the parking lot. We hold hands and we sing Kumbaya. And by that time we're all ready for bed, so we go upstairs and we go to sleep.
I believe you.
Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah, that's it.
No,
that's it. Okay. Okay. So
take care of and all in its right place.
So now that my mom's hung up the phone and shut her radio off, actually go back to the hotel. We shower. We find the local strip club or whatever club's available, and off we go. You know. Oh, we go out and we eat dinner. I mean, everybody does it. It's just like being at home. You know, Friday night, people get off work. Some people go to a strip club. Some go to a dance club. Some go to Bible study. Some go to sing Kumbaya. Everybody does
and
their own different thing.
And some sit at home on Facebook.
But, yeah, I can understand that point because, yes, it would be almost like going to work in your office and then sleeping in the parking lot. You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of... Yeah, there's probably some distance that has to be made. But you know what? We all know how thoughtful and how thoughtful team owners are of their crew guys and their sensitivities and needs and such. And it's definitely, obviously, somebody's done some studying and said it's financially better to go to a hotel. Maybe they get a better tax break with a hotel. I don't know.
When I stay at the track all weekend long. So in other words, I'm staying at my office all weekend.
Well, you know what I'm saying. You know, I can kind of understand. But then again, also a lot of these teams have hotel sponsors,
right?
They are required to use. You know, they get X amount of rooms, and if they don't use them, the hotel, you know, the hotel gives them to them instead of selling them. They give them to the team for what, a sticker on the side of a car, which hey, whatever, free's free. But we all know that when race weekend's around, hotel rooms go for $2, $3, $4, $5, $6. I've
keep
seen
going.
Them $1,000. I've seen $1,000 a night hotel rooms.
When
I've
you go
seen,
down to Dover,
I've actually stayed, not stayed, I'm sorry, looked into a Red Roof Inn that is about, it's the closest hotel to Loudoun. It's a Red Roof Inn. And they're looking at a $1,000 bill a night. And
uh-huh.
That's, you know, I for a Red Roof, yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, think about all the casinos around, the hotels and stuff all around Dover. Cheapest room going is like $700.
You know, actually, I got to tell you something, actually. Funny story about that. I was actually able to secure rooms last year at the casino cheaper than I could get them
off
just
track.
Outside the casino. I paid, it was like 110 $120 a night for a room right at the casino. Now, okay, yes, is that a lot of money to sleep in a bed? Absolutely. But compared to what they get right outside the casino, that's pretty cheap. That's pretty cheap. Anybody that wants to go to Dover, I highly recommend checking in with a casino first. People will tell you that only race team gets to stay there, but that's not true. Race teams actually don't want their guys staying at the casino because more often than not, come the next day, everybody's like, dude, aren't those the same clothes you had on last night when I seen you downstairs? Yes, those would be them because I'm just getting back from downstairs because they're downstairs drinking and gambling all night. So, you know, they were much rather you guys don't.
Wayne, does that bring deja vu?
Hey, I had a great time, and I won a ton of money. I'm not like some people who went home with 75. I don't know how many dollars less. It was a lot less. He went in with more money than he came out with. Unlike some of us who came out with a lot more money than we went in with. But you know that.
Wait, what? Can you enlighten me? What happened?
Right? No, no. Some people lose at a casino. Some people win. Me?
Can you speak to some people in general?
Believe me, there was a whole hell of a lot more than some people there. We had a good time that night. There was a whole bunch of people there. Not just from my team. There was actually a bunch of guys from a bunch of teams there, and we had a great time.
Can
that
you write
is our
checks
venting.
For casinos?
Did we what?
Can you write checks for casinos?
You know what? I need to check into that. I'm sure I could, especially if I told them I own a drag team. That might work. Yeah, that would work. Yeah.
That might work.
I'll try that.
I was just checking off.
Yeah. No, but they do take ATM cards, and it costs $8 to get $20.
Oh,
so
yeah. Isn't that unreal?
If you're going to get money, you might as well. It costs $8. It was like $8.25 to take money out of the ATM.
Just walk up the street to Wawa quick.
Hell with that. I ain't leaving. You know how far it is to walk from the casino? No, we're talking about the casino in Iowa.
Oh, I was going to say, the one in Dover, you walk right up to the Wawa.
Yeah, you can walk right out there, exactly. Is it a Wawa?
Wawa, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is a Wawa, yeah.
Wawa next to the Sonic.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know
McDonald's is across the street, and Walmart's right there, too.
Yeah, because the Walmart is my happy
all the necessities of a race fan right there. There you go. You know what? You're a race devil.
Come on, though. The Walmart.
If you've got a racetrack, wow, thunder. If you got a racetrack, a Walmart, a Sonic, a McDonald's, and a Wawa all within walking distance, you're in like redneck heaven.
Bob Evans.
Bob Evans, that's good eating.
Bob
there.
Evans,
yeah,
there
absolutely.
Too. And the beer, the liquor store.
I guess I don't. You know, I don't drink. I
trackside liquors.
Lord forbids it.
Lord forbids it. Did you drink it?
Huh?
So not that I know any of these places down there.
No, I didn't drink at all. I didn't drink at all last weekend. I didn't have one single. I haven't had a drink in eight years, I think. Yeah.
I had enough for you.
Oh, good for you. I mean, trust me. Don't get me wrong. I love being around drunk. It's funnier now.
Well, you know,
a race team. It's good for a race team to have a guy that doesn't drink because somebody doesn't have to say, okay, fine, I'm not going to drink tonight. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah. All right, cool. I'll play cab driver.
I'll play that one, so that's why it was kind of unusual.
Do you think the local BFW drinks?
What's that?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the BFW. Yeah, you know what? I don't think they serve drinks down there at square dancing. Because you got to understand, it's mostly the old people who go square dancing. Hell, they got to be in bed by 6 o'clock at night. They've already eaten dinner at 2 in the afternoon. So I didn't say everyone. I said most people. You know, I'm thinking all I can envision in downtown is like downtown Mayberry, you know, where they have the Friday night social where the boys are on one side of the room and the girls are on the other. The boys are pulling at their collars because they don't want to be there. And, you know, the girls are sitting in a corner chit-chatting, talking about getting their stuff pushed up so they can take pictures and pretend that they're Danica.
Anyway.
You know what? Exactly. Anyway, I think we're running out of time.
Probably running out of time. But seriously, for a dollar, you get to see the X-rated version. And it, you know, whatever you guys decide to show is your own business. But oh, holy crap! All hell broke breaking loose. Sorry, hold on a minute. Roll up my windows. Shut my doors. What? No, we're getting a bit of a situation here at Watkins Glen.
You know what? We got the on-site reporter, Wayne. What do you got going on out there?
I'm hiding in my truck. That's what I'm doing.
Weather main rain.
Holy crap.
What's going on out there?
I don't know what's going on.
Can you give us an inside view?
No, I can't because I'm hiding underneath my covers right now, begging for a thunder buddy. No, it's just raining like hell. It just all of us. You finally caught that, huh?
Oh, Wayne, you're gonna have to promise us that the next Thursday. You're going to have to join us again. I think we're going to have to change our show name, to be honest with you.
That's not going to happen because I am not paying, by the way, international rates to go to call you. You know what? I'd love to, but I'm not paying international rates to call you from Canada.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? It's international rates?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't – you know what? I got away with it. Last year, because you're in Canada, it's international. You have gone to another country.
That's so
you're on
stomach.
You're on a Canadian tower. It's pretty expensive. But
text messages too.
Everything, anything. So anyway, let me finish my story. So I get back from Canada, and I don't know. I just completely lost track of what I was doing, and I get this like $1,500 cell phone bill. It was ignorant. So I call him up and I said, listen, I was on this four-wheeling excursion that went from New York to Maine. We went from New York to Vermont to New Hampshire and all that. We were riding right along the Canadian border. So I'm thinking that maybe it's possible my phone might have been bouncing in and out of towers. Went from $1,500 to $100 just like that with a snap of a finger. But
you think you can try that?
I don't know. See, that's the problem is I don't know if dare try that again. But no, you do. You got to be careful. I got to remind the bird to call, and I got to do the same thing. I got to call myself, my carrier, and find out if they do have a. Sometimes you can get a what they call a temporary international plan, and it might cost you like $50 or whatever. Maybe even if it's $100 bill, whatever. It's much better. Well, he'll do it if he remembers. I'll have to continually remind him.
Believe me.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm actually looking at a. I'm looking
so
at a river.
With that.
A river forming outside of my truck right now. There's a pretty good possibility I might start floating away. Well, I'm thinking I might be floating away here right now. I mean, seriously, this is not good. There's a lot of water, rainwater coming down right now.
Really?
Let's see here.
I'm pulling up the weather. Let me see.
All right,
hold on.
I'm going to walk in Glen. I'm going to get the racetrack. I'd stick my headset out the window, but I don't want to get wet. But it's freezing. Remember last week when they interviewed Jeff Courtney, you could actually hear the rain in the background? Oh, look, there goes Jeff now. He's running with a trophy. Look at that. He thinks he already won.
I like the Goodyear guy floating down in the puddles last weekend.
What's that?
The Goodyear guy that was floating around in a tire in the puddles because that's how much rain came down up there in Pocono. He could float in the tire.
That's nice. And see, this is, and people say that NASCAR is not a redneck sport. Yeah.
These were the actual Goodyear guys floating in them, too. J.J. Yelly put it up. I wasn't going out there. He was taking pictures.
Yeah, that's hard telling what's in that water too.
did you pull
the weather up?
I don't know, Wayne. Huh? I really don't know what's going on, but I'm pulling up the weather, and it tells me you're lying.
Okay, well, let me see.
No, I'm actually joking.
I'm not.
It's not. You have a severe thunderstorm warning.
Nice.
You have a tropical weather storm warning.
Just to let you know, it is no longer a warning. It is an actual reality. the warning passed about 5 minutes ago, and I went, "Holy crap! I got to shut everything down." That
and
was the warning.
Tomorrow.
Nice.
Tomorrow you got an 80% chance of rain.
What is it?
To 80.
Oh, that sucks. It's going to be a wet weekend. That blows.
Yeah. I've actually got the radar going on here, too, and it's not looking pretty. You've got a lot of yellow, a lot of red, and some orange.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the 80s.
Oh, here we go.
I had some reds and some yellows and some oranges.
Yeah, no.
That's not good. That's too bad. That sucks. That really sucks. Especially sucks, again, for fans and for people who show up here, because next year they're like, there ain't no way in hell I'm spending all that money to go sit up there in the rain. No, no way. 10% chance rain? Ain't no way I'm doing it. Remember how miserable we were last year when we were up there in the rain? These are the conversations husbands and wives are having. They're like, you know what? You're right. Let's just stay home and watch it on TV. Hey, great idea.
Yeah, I guess that's what you call fair weather fans, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I got to be honest with you. I don't know, but I don't want to be sitting out there in a camper while it's raining the whole time.
I didn't hear it last weekend. I slept through it.
Well, sleeping through it's one thing, but in the middle of the afternoon, especially, again, because of the media attention, because apparently it was a slow week in NASCAR news, they over-reported a lightning strike, And like I said, I'm not going back and going back into that again because everybody pretty much knows how I feel about it. But that's just one of those, things. It's like we really don't need the rain. I know New York needs the rain. I could see the grass. I could see Pennsylvania. They need the rain. Corn stalks this time of year should be 8-10 feet tall. I seen corn stalks out in Iowa last week that were probably up to my kneecaps. It's everybody's growing. Everybody's growing cocktail corn this year. So cocktail parties are going to be big corn platters. Yeah, and they need it up here. They really do. But can it rain like Monday through Thursday? Oh, today is Thursday. Monday through Wednesday.
How about tonight when we're sleeping?
That wouldn't be a bad gig either.
That actually
worked out pretty good last week in Iowa. Holy crap, we got hammered on just before qualifying, on our way to qualifying. We left the hotel, and it was I was coming down pretty hard and heavy, but. Anyways, go back to watching your weather. I've said my piece. Everybody knows how I feel about it. There ain't no way in hell I'm calling you from Canada because it's too expensive, and I spend my money elsewhere.
Yeah.
What? If not mine, I'll spend someone else's.
Not yours right now, anyways. So.
I'm not going. I'm going to strip club and go. Y'all take checks.
Oh no.
I got a check here.
Ay,
it's out of
North Carolina.
Mine for
a check. Oh, my.
Write him a check. Write him a check. I hope Bird's listening. I hope the Bird's listening because he's got to be laying on the floor laughing right now.
He's
pretty damn tired. I'm going to tell you what. Them boys in the 2014 nationwide team, them boys, some hardworking some bitches. I'm going to tell you what.
They are.
From I know for a fact, 7 o'clock yesterday morning until when I left this morning at 7:30, them boys was there humping on them cars to get them out of there. You got to understand, we should have been out of there at midnight, but it was a last minute change and everybody pulled together and said, "All right, you know what? We'll make the changes and everybody's gonna make a sacrifice." And what the hell, we're here. Chances are pretty good when we unload tomorrow. We're just gonna have to unload and go right to tech. Everything's where it's gotta be. So.
I can tell you at, let's see here, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
They were already on over 24 hours, and they were not, everyone had dispersed at 8 o'clock to go back home to get their stuff, and they got their stuff and was back on the road at 9.
Yeah, to drive 670-odd miles, yeah.
Exactly.
Cool thing is though. See, this is where I get a sympathy card, because I did it by myself. They did it with multiple drivers. So just saying. Just bringing up a point. Just bringing up a point.
Just bringing up a point. Because you are the man, Wayne. You are the man.
No.
Well, listen,
no, actually,
we want you to
no,
be...
actually, actually, because I went home yesterday afternoon and took a nap.
Okay.
after I did some collecting, I had to go collect on a couple of things, and then I went home and took a nap. So, anyways, thank you for having me on. I will definitely not be calling in next week.
Appreciate it.
I won't call in next week. I may not even call in the week after that. It's probably time for someone else to call in. If not, maybe I can just find a random person and hand them the phone and say, "Here, talk." That would be kind of cool. Wouldn't that be, you know
now,
what?
That would be
that
interesting.
That actually be kind of cool to be at the track.
Is
on,
that
you know,
like
we'll
hidden camera?
I don't know if we'll be at the track on that Thursday or not in Bristol, but that would be actually kind of cool.
You should be because you race Friday.
That's Dan.
No, we race Saturday.
Oh, you race Saturday? I'm so confused.
No, but I would still be there Thursday night. We'll see how that works out. That actually might work out kind of cool. Just go down into the fan area. And or the go to the empty campground and see if you can find someone and hand them the phone and just say, "Here, talk." That would be kind of cool.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
I really like that idea.
Yeah.
Wayne,
just tell them to,
that is why
just tell them,
you are a
yet,
man.
Better yet, I'll put on like some junior motorsports gear
and no.
I'll walk and I'll find a junior motorsports junior fan and be like, "Hi, I'm with junior motorsports. You randomly chosen to speak with Dale Jr. Would you like to speak with him?" And hit him the phone. Just for the look on their face, and they're like, "What an ass!" And they throw my phone across the parking lot. But
well, not only that, though, it would prove if they knew their junior or not, if they could realize it wasn't him they were talking to.
Well, you know, the voice is the same, but the dress is different. It's all good.
All right, guys,
that's
we got 3 minutes before we get cut off. Wayne, we thank you. We appreciate you calling in.
Hey,
we always look forward to it.
If anybody's got video of the lightning strike, put it on YouTube, please. I'd like to see it.
It is.
I'm just saying. It's got to be cool video.
You know, I'll find that for you.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Oh, all righty.
All right, have fun. I got to go.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Okay, thanks for joining, Wayne.
I see a lady with ruby slippers flying by me right now. I got to go.
Not in Kansas anymore.
Bye.
Bye, Wayne.
All right. I got to go. Have fun, kids.
Bye. Okay. Bye-bye. Well, that basically wraps up our Girls Getting the Facts edition of Garage Talk Live.
It does. I just want to say one more thing real quick. Anybody
yeah.
who has any memory stories or anything like that from Reading, get a hold of me. It's TammyJ@GarageTalkLive.com, TammyJ. At GarageTalkLive.com, and I'm working on putting something together for next year's mall reunion show, an article, and I would love to talk to anybody that wants to share any memories that they have to be a part of this article. So get a hold of me.
Well, definitely. You know, hopefully we can get some stuff to help them out. That'd be great. Make sure you turn in next week. We are expecting to have Jennifer Jo Cobb on live with us to talk about the long-standing discussion that we're having, women in motorsports, where her place is now, where she hopes her place to be, and talk about discussions with her truck series, her nationwide series, and her clothing line, Driven and Driver. Be real interesting to hear what she's got to say.
Sounds good. I can't wait.
Great. Well, everyone have a great night. Thanks
yep.
for tuning in.
And we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye.